Please open your Bibles to the book of John. John chapter 11. In your Scofield reference Bible, page 1130. Page 1130. John chapter 11, we'll be reading verses 1 through 7 and verses 15 through 17. And we'll read the verses responsively. While you're finding that, this announcement: will Andy Donate meet his mother at the usher station, please? Andy Donate meet his mother at the usher station. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This witness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. Together on verse 15. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for this good day. We of all people are privileged to be in this place. There's not a place in the world where most of us would rather be. We're thankful for the First Baptist Church. We're thankful for these who compose our church family. We're thankful for our preacher. We're thankful that he's well enough to be with us today. We pray that you'd bless him with power, anoint him with thy Spirit's blessing. And we pray that you'd give us that which we need. Of course, thou art able to fulfill every need represented in this place. Help our hearts to be hungry, our minds to be alert. In Jesus' name, amen.
Open your Bibles again, please, to John chapter 11. I want to point out just two or three things to you before I pray and before I bring the message this morning. This is the story about Lazarus being dead and Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. I want you to notice, please, quickly, folks on the balcony, steps, come on up, find your place to seat now. I'm going to wait till they get located there. Help the usher, if you would, quickly. Right, quick-like. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Help them find a seat, Brother Tom, right quick-like. All right. Let me say again now, this is the story of Lazarus being dead and raised from the dead. I want you to bear in mind that Jesus often frequented the home of Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. It was Martha who was cumbered about with much serving. It was Mary who was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus often found refuge, fellowship, and strength, comfort in their home, a little place called Bethany. Bethany is just over the Mount of Olives from the city of Jerusalem. Probably this was Jesus' favorite home to visit. Lazarus is dead, and the Bible says in verse number 5, look at it. Now Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. Let's get that all settled. All settled. In a few verses here, There are going to be reasons to doubt that. He loved them. Get that settled. That's all settled. He loves you. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, wait a minute. Why didn't Jesus rush back to Lazarus? You don't have to why Jesus. You don't have to why him. It's settled before that that he loved them. It's very interesting. He loved them. He loved Mary. He loved Martha. And he loved Lazarus. So if he abides 2 days, that doesn't mean he doesn't love them. And notice it says they both in the same place. Verse 7. Then after that, he saith to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Two or three things I want you to notice. First is, he loved them. It's all settled. He loved them. Second is, for some reason or other, he lingered for 2 days. Third thing is, he showed up. He'll be there. He'll be there. You may wonder why he doesn't come when you think he ought to come, but hang around. He's on his way. He's on his way. Now in verse number 14. Then said Jesus then unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad, I love this verse, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Now get this, to the intent that ye may believe. Anybody can believe while he's there. Now he's waiting 2 days to come. Now, during that time of waiting, I'll find out whether you're a good Christian or not. He said, I wanted to see if you had faith in me, even though I wasn't here for a couple of days. Now in verse number 17, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Sounds like to me there's no case too hard for God. The Bible says his body was already stinking. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, where are you, Jesus, when I need you? Where are you, Jesus, when I need you? Our Heavenly Father, I want to be a blessing today. I pray you'll help me to be so, please. May the people listen carefully. May I speak as you speak to me, and I trust even through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I just told you the story. To start off the sermon this morning, I want to get two things straight. Number one, God loved them. God loved them. Now get that settled once and for all. God loves you. I've often said this of all the statements I've made in these almost 37 years of pastoring this church. The statement I made the most is God loves you. And that's the best news you'll ever hear. God loves you. Now get that settled, Martha, for after a while, you're going to have some reason to doubt. And get that settled, Mary, for after a while, you're going to have some reason to doubt. Now, while he's there, Mary and Martha, it's pretty easy to understand that he loves you. While he's sitting there in the house expounding to you, Mary, and you're sitting at his feet worshiping him, it's easy to understand he loves you. And Martha, while you're in the kitchen there and you're cooking lunch, it's easy to understand he's out there, he loves you. But I want you to get this straight. He doesn't have to be on trial every day with you. He loves you. Get it straight. He loves you. You will need that someday. When things are going well, you don't need it quite as badly. But when things are not going well, don't forget back yonder he said, Jesus said, he loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. No matter what happens, he loves you. You know what I said? He loves you. No matter what happens, he loves you. He loves you. You say, well, I can't understand it. Don't understand it. Believe it. Just believe it. He loves you. And so, a day will come and you could doubt it. But get it down once and for all. God loves you. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they're weak, but he is strong. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see, and this is the dearest, that Jesus loves me.
Now, one day the death angel is going to come to your house and take the dearest from you. One day the death angel is going to come and take your little baby out of the crib, or your husband out of the bed beside you, or your wife from your loving arms, or your mother or father. The death angel is going to come. When he does come, don't forget, God loves you. Second thing. I want you to get the second thing straight. God is good. God is good. Don't decide every day whether God is good. Decide it once and for all, God is good. I was talking to a young man one day, and he said to me, God has been good to me. He said, God is good to me. He said, I have a happy marriage. I have healthy children. I have a good job. I have a nice house. I drive a good car. I'm in good health. I wear nice clothes. I have many friends. I live in a free country. I have a retirement plan. I live in America. I like my boss. I make a good salary. God really has been good to me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if that's what you base the goodness of God on, some of these days you won't think God is good. So get it all settled, Mary and Martha. After a while, you're going to need to underline this. Your faith is going to be tested. God loves you, Mary and Martha, while you're in the home with Jesus, but he loves you when Jesus is gone and postpones his return 2 days while your brother is sick and even dead, and for 4 days he stays away and the body is already stinking. I want to say this morning, God loves you and God is good. I said to this man, something like this, young man, something like this. I said, God is good because you have a happy marriage and have healthy children, and have a good job, and a nice house, and a good car, and you're in good health, and wear nice clothes, and have many friends, and live in a free country, and have a retirement plan, and live in America, and you like your boss, make a good salary. But I said, listen to me. God is good if your wife is Jezebel reincarnate. God is good if your children are sick. God is good if you're unemployed. God is good if you live in a dump. God is good if you ride a bicycle, even worse, drive a Ford. God is good. Get it down. Underline it. Capitalize it. God is good. And God loves you. God is good if you have horrible health. God is good if you live in a rest home. God is good if you're confined to a wheelchair. God is good if you wear hand-me-down clothes. God is good if you have no friends. God is good if you have no retirement plan. God is good if you live in Cuba. God is good if you have an ogre for a boss. God is good if you have no income. Let me just stop and say it again and again. The Heavenly Father, the Creator of the universe, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the God of this world, the one who holds the worlds in his hands and keeps the stars in their socket, God loves you. Hey, grab it. He loves you this morning. He loves you. He loves you when the sky is clear and you can see forever. He loves you when the clouds hang low and the storms are raging. God loves you when you have plenty, and God loves you when you have little. I'm saying God loves you and God is good. God loves you and God is good. If your child is born afflicted, and you, as my mother did, sit beside that child for 7 years, while she never turns over in bed, while she never says, Mama, she never says, Daddy. She never says, I love you. After 7 years of waiting on that little child that can give no response at all, that little child dies. God still loved Costa Maddie Hiles, and God was still good. If you, as my mother, give birth to the second child, and the second child lives to be 7 also. At the age of 7, she has the measles, and suddenly in your arms, she says, Mother, I feel like I'm going up in the air to be with Jesus. God loves you and God is good. I said, God loves you and God is good. If your child is missing and you find him face down in a pool of water, and that child for 2 years has lived in a comatose state, as is the case of a little child in this church here, that child simply stares at you and makes no response at all, and for 2 years, over 2 years, you've had to live with that kind of a condition, I've got good news. God loves you and God is good. You say, I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it now. You will understand it someday. God loves you and God is good. If you have triplets, as is the case of a couple in this church, triplets, one has muscular dystrophy. Second is blind, little children. Third died. I said one muscular dystrophy. Second one blind. Third one died. God loves you and God is good. If today you are working on a scaffolding and fall as one of our men did from the scaffold, and you're paralyzed from your chest down, and you cannot move your body unless you're pushed in a wheelchair, I said, God loves you and God is good. If your wife leaves you for another man, the judge gives them your children, God loves you and God... And I never understood that. I've never understood that. Here's a woman, has a husband that loves her, and she takes off with another man, and the judge gives the children to the whore. I've never understood that at all. But you're one of those men whose wife became a whore, and she took off with another man, and you lost the wife that you loved, and with her, the judge gave her the little children. I want to tell you, God loves you, and God is good. I said, God loves you, and God is good. I said, God loves you, and God is good. If you're dying or doing your best for God, and suddenly cancer takes one of your eyes, as it did to a man on this platform, God loves you, and God is good. If your husband leaves you with your children to rear alone, God loves you, and God is good. If your wife has a brain tumor, leaving her barely able to speak and unable to walk, and for 17 years or so, you have to cook for her, and you have to take care of the house for her, and she crawls like an animal around the house because she can't walk, God loves you, and God is good. Hey, take God off the witness stand. Take God off the trial. Declare God innocent. He loves you, and He's good. If your husband, as is the case of a little lady sitting within five rows of where I stand right now, you and your husband go to Howells Anderson College. Never saw a cuter couple in my life. Never did. Suddenly, he's taken by an incurable disease and wilts away. Goes down to Columbia, South Carolina, and starts a church, even though he knows he has terminal illness. And has a nice little church they've started there, and all of a sudden he gets worse and worse. Your husband passes away, leaving you to live alone with the children. I'm trying to say, God loves you and God is good. Hey, Mary, Jesus loves you now as much as he did while he was here. Don't trust him. He's waiting a couple of days. He'll not come back until Lazarus has been in the grave for 4 days. His body will already stink. But now's the time to trust him. Hey, he said he loved you, didn't he? God doesn't love you because he treats you well. God loves you because he said he loved you. God doesn't love you because the sun is shining. God loves you because he said he loved you. God doesn't love you because you're on topside. God loves you because he said he loves you. God loves you, and God is good. Take him off the stand. Cancel the trial. Excuse the witnesses. Drop the charges. Dismiss the jury. Fire the bailiff. Forget the plea bargain. Burn the gavel. Call off the deposition. Free the defendant. Disregard the plaintiff. God loves you and God is good. Case dismissed. I said in the first place, get it all settled. God loves you. Don't ever doubt it. I said in the second place, God is good. Don't ever doubt it. In the third place, sometimes he lets us suffer a while before he comes. Now you say, preacher, why? I don't know why. If I could understand God, he wouldn't be a very big God. I don't have to understand God. All I have to do is trust God. Sometimes he waits. It says when he heard, he abode 2 days where he was. I understand that, Jesus. You said you loved us back yonder. Now for 2 days, our brother's been sick and he's dying. And you're still over here 2 days. Why? Don't you why God? You trust God. I look over this building, all over this building, and I don't have to go three or four pews at a time without seeing somebody. If you didn't watch out, they'd doubt God. Don't doubt him. Don't doubt him. Don't doubt him. When the clouds are heavy, don't doubt him. He told you, didn't he? Well, how do I know he loves me? The blessed, eternal, never dying Word of God says he loves you. That's why. Most everybody in this room could testify. There have been times when you thought he had come, but he lingered. Can you imagine how Mary and Martha felt for those 2 days? We're talking about human beings here. He sat in our living room. He ate at our table. He loved to come here. And now he heard that Lazarus is sick. He stays 2 days there before he even starts his trip back. He didn't even begin the trip for 2 days. Where is he? He said he loved us. Everybody in this room has found times in your life and you wondered about that. Why did he wait? Where's Jesus? Where are you, Jesus, when I need you? I recall in the first year of my ministry, for one whole year, I didn't have a single person walk the aisle for salvation. Had a little church up in the country. I remember how I'd go, Brother Ray, out in the woods. I'd preach on Sunday and nobody would come forward. I'd go out and try to witness and I just couldn't get anybody saved. I could win somebody in the home, but I couldn't get anybody to come forward. I'd go out in the woods and fall on my face and I'd say, God, you called me to preach. I'm doing the best I can. You know I'm sincere. I've been out soul winning and I preached in the woods. I preached at that black church out in the country. I preached at the park under the pavilion. I've gone out and built me brush arbors and I've preached. I've done the best I could. And you call me and nobody walks the aisle. I'd go out after the service. I'd throw up. I'd lose my breakfast or lose whatever I'd eaten and I lost down to almost nothing, almost 100 pounds. I got down to almost 100 pounds and the deacons called me together and said, Preacher, you got to take care of yourself. And Mrs. Howell said, Honey, you got to take care of yourself. And I said, Where is the Lord God in Elijah? Where is the Lord God in Elijah? Let me tell you where he is. He's where he's always been. He loves you and he's good. God loves you and he's good. But by the way, he came. It took a while, but it took a year for me to wait for him to come, but he came. And all these wonderful years, over 1 million people have walked the aisles in the churches I've pastored and places where I've preached receiving Christ. Not talking about dedications of life, not talking about rededication. I'm talking about conversions, trusting Christ as Savior. I want you to know he may wait a while, but he's going to come. He'll be there. When I came to Hammond, 1959, pastor of this great church, we pulled out of the American Baptist Convention and changed the church a lot, lost a bunch of people. I thought we'd never get going again. In 1960, we averaged about 700. Same thing the next year, the same thing the next year. And I remember I'd walk up and down the old building over there. I'd walk up and down the aisles and I would sing, Lord, send the old time power, the Pentecostal power. Let sinners be converted and thy name glorified. Lord, send the power, the old time power, the Pentecostal power. And I'd pray and I'd walk up and down the pews. I'd say, oh God, you've got to help us. You've got to do something. And for 3 years, we couldn't get unstuck. But hallelujah, look what God has done here in this place. He's on the way, folks. He's on the way. He may not come when you think you ought to come, but he's on the way. Little widow, he's on the way. Heartbroken mother, he's on the way. Person who has lost a loved one, he's on the way. You might wonder where he is today, but praise his wonderful name. He's coming. I promise you, he's going to come after a while. That 2 days is faith time. He is coming. My God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory. All things will work together for good to those who love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. You can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. You are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you shall dwell in the house of God forever. The angel of the Lord does encamp round about those that love him. I said he's coming. He's coming, Mary. He's coming. Believe that he's going to come. When the shadows are there, believe that the sun will shine again. When it's midnight, believe the sun will rise again. When you're lonely, believe he'll come again. I'm talking to folks all over this room this morning. You wonder where he is. Is he ever going to deliver me? Is the victory ever going to come? Is the sun ever going to rise? Yes, it is. Jesus is on his way. And when he comes, he'll bring the victory.
Ask my mother. Ask my mother.
14 years, lost 2 7-year-old children.
Ask my mother,
who sat beside that little bed for 7 years and wondered if you'd ever come. Lost another and wondered if you'd ever come. My mother and father lost a little business in the Depression, and she wondered if he'd ever come. Daddy turned to drink and left us, and she wondered if he'd ever come. Depression came, and she had to work for 50 cents a day to keep some food in our bodies, and she wondered if he'd ever come. But Mrs. Costa Maria House died, the queen of fundamentalism. She died, the most famous woman in fundamental circles. I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, just keep on serving. Just keep on loving. Just keep on giving. Just keep on preaching. Just keep on doing good. He's on the way. I promise he's on the way. That's my sister, choir. Ask her. Her life was taken out from under her, and all of her dreams blighted and gone just like that. One of the most respected women in America is Earlene Stevens. For these years, she's been a teacher at a college and the head bookkeeper, bursar at Howells Anderson College. I'm saying, between the time that your heart's broken, by the time he shows up, you got to believe. He's on the way. Ask Randy Erickson. Ask Randy, who for 17 years, I think it was, mentioned a while ago, had no wife except a cripple who talked just about like this and who couldn't even walk. She crawled like a dog across the house. I knew him well. I tried to be his buddy. I'd take him on trips with me. Every Christmas morning, he had no wife that could be with him, and he had no children, no family. Every Christmas morning, I'd get up early and take Randy out to eat breakfast with me on Christmas Day, fellowship with him a while. And he kept on, and he kept on, and he kept on, and he kept on. Will he ever come? Will he ever come? Praise God, he came. Randy now has a lovely family, doing a good job for God. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, he may not be here yet, but he's on the way. Believe him between the time that you need him and the time he gets there. He's trying to find out if you really believe that he'll come or not. Ask Adrian, Randy's wife. Ask her. Her whole life pulled out from under all at one time. A couple of little baby girls and no place to go and no money. We had to bring her back here and get her, help get her back here and keep the kids fed and keep her fed. Gave her a job on the church staff. Now she's happily married with a fine husband and a lovely home. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that it may be. You say, where is he? Where are you when I need you? He's on the way. He'll be here. He'll be here. And when he comes, he'll bring the victory with him. Hey, Randy Rogers. Go about 6 pews up there and talk to Randy Erickson this morning. He'll tell you that Jesus is on the way. Tim and Betty McCurdy. 2.5 years, a little child that can't talk back. Talk to my mama. I want to tell you something, folks. I said this often, I'm not some young preacher telling you what I've heard. I'm an old preacher telling you what I've seen. I mean, Jesus is going to come and give the victory. I've been to places in my life where I couldn't see my hand in front of me. Time and time again, I wonder if I could ever get to preach again. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Praise His wonderful name! He's on the way! You feel God is forgotten? Talk to my sister for a while. My heart was warmed by this passage the last few weeks. I wrote these words. I'd like for you to listen carefully. Where are you, Jesus? Where? Oh, where? When I'm in trouble, don't you care? It's been 2 days, and I've not heard, and day is dawning on the third. You said you loved us and you cared,
Don't you recall the times we shared? When from your busy life you'd steal and share with us a Martha meal? Where are you now when we're in need? Why don't you come? Why don't you heed? Oh, where has Jesus gone when burdens have become a throng? We can't believe that he's not here to bring to us both strength and cheer. My life has known a sudden crash. All of heaven has turned to brass. I thought he'd come at any cost when those he loves seem all is lost. Our baby's ill. And where are you when sleep escapes us all night through? My husband's left, the kids and me. We thought we could depend on thee. The cancer cells have come my way, yet it appears you've gone to stay. I've reared my child the best I could, and now my hopes have turned to wood. You know I've tried to stand by thee. I thought that you would stand by me. Yet here I stand before your throne and feel as if I'm all alone. It seems I've lost my favorite friend. I'd just as soon for life to end. My load is more than I can bear. I guess I thought you'd come to share. I bowed my head in full despair, releasing hope that he would care. My hope hath lost most all its rays, for they've been dead for 4 long days. And they've been dead so long, I think, it seems that they begin to stink. Oh, my. Oh, my. What's that I feel? I feel a hand that seemeth real. Oh, he did come. The Savior's here. I feel reviving of my cheer. He speaks. My child, you need not fear. The resurrection now is near. He is not dead. It's only sleep. And then I see my Savior weep. Come forth, my child, and live again. The 4 long days were just my plan. I planned that 4 days short delay before I came to you today. My wait was done to glorify the one whose throne is in the sky. Praise God! Praise God! My Lord is near! I now can feel that hope is here. Oh yes, I know he cares. My heavy load, I know he shares. And though it seemed that he was late, praise God that it was worth the wait. My hopes, he raised it from the dead. Just like his previous book had said, oh why did I despair and ever doubt his loving care? While he was gone, I know I should have still believed that God is good. I should not doubt why he is gone or feel in love when all alone. I guess I know that he knew that he would come to visit our small, modest home. But those 4 days can seem so long. His absence steals my victory song. So now my faltering doubts have been replaced by happy shouts. I'll know next time, while he's away, that he'll return another day. When he's with me, I'll lift a song and trust him when I'm all alone. I'll know that he will come again, and absence was within his plan. I'll trust him through those 4 long days when for some cause he's gone away. Well, all the time my heart will burn because I know that he'll return. And so I promise while he's here, enjoying all the while he's near. But now I'll know through lonely days to trust him while he's gone away. And may an old preacher say this morning, hang in there. He's going to come. He's going to come. You name it, I've faced it. And there's some things this morning in my life, just as there are in yours, that makes me wonder if he's ever going to come. When will vindication come? When will the victory come? When? When? I don't know, but I can do all things through him that loved me. We're more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. He's going to come. So until he gets here, don't forget what he said before he left. I love you. And God is good. God loves you. And God is good. So you don't understand what I understand. You don't talk to the people like I do, like Brother Johnny does. Brother Johnny, you and I know people this morning who wonder if this time next week their mother will be alive. Parents this morning in this room who wonder if this time next week their daughter or their son will be alive. We live with it all the time. I tell you this morning, if you, like Mary and Martha, wonder where he is, don't wonder where he is. Praise God that he is. And don't forget, in the darkness, while he's still away for those 4 days, God loves you. And God is good. God loves you. And God is good. Would you bow your heads, please? Our Heavenly Father, you don't have to walk these dusty trails of earth very long to find out. Sometimes you're going to wonder, where was Jesus when I needed him? Doesn't take long to find out the lonely hours. Those 4 days, and especially those first two. Why doesn't he come on now? But after we've lived a while and found out more about Jesus, we find out that he's on the way. He may wait a while to make us believe or to test our belief, but he's on the way. I pray for those this morning who are in those 4 day period. I pray for those who wonder if he's ever going to come back. Will he ever give the victory? Will I ever understand? Will I ever understand why? I pray for them. But I pray you'd help them to remember what God said. God loves you, and God is good.